Okay, go.
What's up, everybody? This is Jopper, Papa Pump Penizai, a.k.a. the man with the 8.5-inch reach, if you know what I mean. With my main man, John DeMatt. Maz, how you doing, brother?
Yo, man, I'm doing pretty good today. A little under the weather, but I'm going to make it happen.
Yeah, you make it happen, just like you made something else happen in the bathroom.
Hey, number two.
Yeah. So what's new with you, bud?
Not too much, man. I'm a little under the weather. I've been traveling a hell of a lot for work, so I've been racking up some serious freaking fire miles. Went on a few vacations, and it's been summer. We've been kind of taking a break from our normal podcast, but I've been nonstop traveling. I'm not even going to go into the list of all the countries that I was in, but if you want, I can give it to you.
Well, give me the top three, the ones that made your boner the hardest.
Switzerland.
You found love in Switzerland?
Found love in Hopeless Place.
I love it.
Where else did I go that was interesting? Germany was pretty cool.
And, what part of Germany were you in?
Frankfurt.
Oh, I hear that place sucks.
Yo, that sucks so bad they bombed the shit out of in World War II.
Oh, shit.
You heard about that little known skirmish. And then I went to Japan back in June for my B-Day.
Oh, man, that's fucking awesome. That's actually the place I want to go to more than anywhere else.
You should go. I mean, if you like places with no crime or low crime, places where people don't get shot or stabbed, if you're worried about being raped, that's always a good place to start at.
And women don't have rights there.
No, they definitely do.
Damn it. Kidding.
I mean, Japan's just a really cool place, especially if you're into martial arts. I've been fortunate enough to train a few times while I was over there. And if you like some of the old, temples and castles and all those kind of things, you could definitely go and get a lot of culture as well as get, like, super shit hammered if that's what you're into. And see, like, you know, robot restaurant and some super galactic dance party acid drunk booze show with chicks that look like strippers but aren't.
It's always a good time. So now, we're talking about a few topics out there right now. Currently, a lot of people know about Trail Sun. And
well, actually, let's talk about relaunching the podcast.
Oh, good point. Let's go over that first.
So, September 1st, we kind of taken, like, an abbreviated schedule for the summer because we've been both working and going crazy. As you can tell, I haven't even been in the country. But September 1st, relaunching a podcast. This is the one, our relaunch. We got some awesome guests coming up. We have one of our good friends, Marissa Savino, who's sponsored by RTN Nutrition. We have, who else are we going to get on the podcast?
We had Zach Evanesh from the Underground Gym, Underground Strength Gym, I should say.
And Zach Evanesh is a world-class strength and conditioning coach. He works with a ton of athletes from wrestling and all kinds of combative sports. You worked with him for a few fights, right?
Definitely. We got Gabriel Varga. He currently won the Contender Tournament for Glory, as well as we also had another jerk-off on, right? Who was that? I can't even remember.
I don't know. You'll look in the archives here.
And by the way, and when I say jerk-off, I mean friend.
Bullshit.
So, yes, everything's coming back together with the podcast. We thank you guys for being patient with us because we do have lives outside of this. Everything we do on this podcast comes directly out of our pocket. So we kind of had to save up some money and do our thing. But we're back and we're going to give you the best product ever, which is, you know, if you pay us $5, we'll probably give you a rub and tug.
More shit talking.
You know it.
But the good thing is that we got some awesome guests. Thank you to our fans. We've had some hits and downloads in over 75 different countries. We've amassed thousands of downloads. So, you know, we're excited. And, you know, we've done this all grassroots by ourselves. No sponsorships, no corporations, just, Facebook, Bad Guy Muay Thai, Instagram, Official BGMT, and our YouTube page. So thank you very much. So let's start today. You know, a lot of news in mixed martial arts, especially with all kinds of supplements. One of the big names that's been getting around is Chael Sonnen. Chael was popped and tested. I mean, he had a litany of different stuff in him. He had tests, EPO, growth hormone, I don't know, a few other things.
Well, you know, it's always such conflicting stories, because the first thing I heard that was he was on prescription medication such as Clomid and an anti-estrogen blocker. And in my opinion, I know a lot of these things got blocked, even with the doctor's script. But this guy, he admits he ravaged his body with steroids and everything like that. And he said the best quote ever. He's not going to go to a doctor and say, "Hey, I feel like shit. Give me stuff that makes me feel worse." He's going to say, "Hey, what can you do to make me feel better?" And that's what he did. And I think the cool thing about him is he's not denying it. He's not running from it. Unlike a lot of other people, like Wanderlei Silva, who ran out during his drug test.
Vitor, Overeem.
Yeah. all these guys basically pretending that they're not on it. Chael doesn't deny it, and that's why, in my opinion, he's such a badass, because they're all on it. I don't care what anybody says. Chris Weidman, all those jerk-offs are on something, and when they pretend to not be on it, it's just, it's a load of bullshit.
Well, do you think that since everybody is on something, you have to be on something to compete with everybody else? So, you know, if you're not taking some sort of performance-enhancing drug, PED, I mean, is your career going to suffer? Or are you going to lose a shitload of money? I mean, you compete on the amateur level where they don't even test people. I'm sure you've probably fought against somebody who was on a performance-enhancing drug.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there was guys you would see who one fight they'd have no abs, and the next fight they come back and they look like freaking Hercules.
By next fight, do you mean like in a kumite?
In a kumite with, you know, headbands on and everything. No, but it, honestly, you do kind of have to even the playing field, because the winner of each fight gets a $5,000 bonus. So wouldn't you take that extra step to make sure you get that $5,000 bonus, that win bonus?
$5,000 bonus, I mean, and if you're talking in elite level mixed martial arts, you're talking millions of dollars, because you're talking sponsorship, pay-per-views, you know, people that buy your t-shirt, people that download, or people that drink your shitty protein shake, or, you know, or whatever your whatever supplements you're, or whatever you're pushing.
Every win gets you probably 50 more personal clients or members of your gym. It's huge. You have to win. If you lose, you know what? It's going to hurt you. And you look at these guys. The first fight I couldn't believe, you know, watching was Sean Sherk versus who's that? What's that guy's name? The one where they both got busted for steroids. It was Sean Sherk, and he used to be Pellegrino's jiu-jitsu partner from Florida.
Oh,
Herpes Franca.
Hermes Franca.
And I'm watching that fight going, wow, these guys went to war for 5 rounds. It was literally like they both had gas tanks that never ended. Then the next thing you hear, they're both on steroids. And that was how many years ago?
It's got to be at least 5 or 6 years ago.
That was at least 5 or 6 years
ago. But even looking in Pride, those guys were like encouraged. Well, they didn't encourage steroid use, but they said like,
they turned a blind eye to it.
Yeah, we don't test.
Yeah, exactly.
So what did you have? You had the elite of elite fighters that were juiced out of their fucking minds. They all look like action figures and superheroes, and they put together some of the greatest super fights and fights of all time.
And, you know, realistically, you want these guys to put on good fights. You want these guys to be better than the amateurs. Well, they need to be able to train with the volume and frequency that, you know, they're going to be able to put on the performances that you're going to enjoy. So in my opinion, there's nothing wrong with them taking steroids and stuff. If they're all taking it, it's an even playing field. Think about it. Lance Armstrong was on stuff.
So, but the problem is a few, well, it's a several questions deep. What is the long-term liability and effects of this? Like, say you have a business operation and you're encouraging people to do some things are illegal. Correct. Some steroids are illegal. Some steroids are illegal. Correct, right?
Mm-hmm.
But looking down line, you know, you're in a combative sport, a pugilistic sport. You're almost condoning brain trauma.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, here's the whole thing. If these guys want to make money, they need to perform at their highest level, right? They don't care the effects that they're having on their body because they
fuck it, get paid.
Yeah, get paid. So I look at it this way. We're not creating any other avenue for them to make money in the future. So they got to collect now. They got to basically be like squirrels, collect their nuts during freaking winter, you know, before winter, and then just like hibernate. So that's the whole situation. We're creating a world for them that they need to make the money now, because later on they're going to be shit out of luck.
Yeah, and guess what? A lot of these guys end up fucking washed up fighters and can't do anything but fight, and now they have brain damage. What do you think about Chael being allowed, or the athletic commission wanting to fine him for competing in a grappling match that has nothing to do with fighting, that doesn't even require a fight license or clearance from the athletic commission?
See, that to me is idiotic. That's like saying, you know, I can't play basketball because, you know, I got caught with performance-enhancing drugs. I can't play, you know, street hoops. That makes no sense. Metamorphosis is not MMA. It's a completely different game, and realistically, you saw what happened. Chael's on performance-enhancing stuff, and did he win?
How about Andre Gabal? That guy's friggin' shred mode. He's jacked. I mean, I don't know what acai he's drinking. He's a pretty big dude as well. I'm not saying he is or is not performance-enhancing drugs. I mean, some dudes are just naturally have a sick physique, but you know, who's to say that some of those guys in the top tier of BJJ aren't taking anything either? I mean, those guys train hard as shit, just like any other professional fighter, and it's way, way less paid. I mean, I bet you some, you know, some guys probably are barely squeaking out a living besides their gym. Those guys are, you know, could potentially, there's a lot of money at stake.
Yeah, I think that for them to fine him was completely out of the line. I mean, he got fined in one sport and you're going to transfer it over to something else. It just doesn't make sense. You can't fine somebody because they're trying to take part in another sport because you told them they can't compete for 2 years now.
I mean, that's bullshit. They're taking away the guy's ability to make a living. I mean, he's been in some other troubles, but I mean, it's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, I guarantee you do a random test like they did to Chael. You do a random test to all these guys when they're like peak into their training camp. You're gonna expose all of them. I don't care if it's GSP or John Jones, you're going to expose them.
I mean, but what's the solution now? UFC wants to do this testing where they could come knock on your door and then this crazy chain of custody with a briefcase with a handcuffs on it, and they come and give you this, administer this test, and it's like a $45,000 test. Is that all for show? Is that like a waste of money?
It's absolutely for show. I mean, I don't care what anybody says. it's kind of stupid. It's like back in the day with the WWF when Hulk Hogan and Vince McMahon had an issue because Vince McMahon was getting sued for steroids. You know,
like, yeah, no shit.
Yeah, it's like no shit. Vince McMahon knew it. You know, they know who's giving the steroids. You don't think Uncle Dana's given everybody the doctor's name that kind of will write you off and give you a script? Of course he is. Get out of here. I hate that whole, you know, acting innocent bullshit. We all know that he plays a role in it, and if he doesn't, he can, you know, suck my dick for being a liar.
Holy shit. Now, I just pulled up Sharedog.com. I was looking at a few different things, and I was seeing that, you know, these guys at your weight, TJ Dillashaw and Hannon Burrell, dude, how are those guys cutting down at 135 is what I want to know.
Well, it's a mixture of diuretics, clenbuterol, probably T3. I'm very well read on it because I work at a bodybuilding gym, guys, and for lack of better words, it's everywhere.
Everybody.
You know, they try to even keep that place as clean as possible, but no matter where you go, steroids are going to leak. And these people who, I mean, when they're not fighting, they're 170, and then when they fight at 135. There's tricks of the trade. There's something more Mike Dolce is doing than the 3 weeks to Shredded, if you know what I mean.
I mean, look at Anthony Rumble Johnson. That guy was walking around like well over 200 pounds and cutting down to like, I don't know, 170. Or, I mean, he did miss weight a few times, but even to get close to it, that's, I don't know. I find it kind of ridiculous.
Let's just say this. I don't care how clean your diet is. If you're meant to be a certain weight, you can't fight genetics. You can't fight genetics naturally. I mean, without your body just saying F you and falling apart. All right, so what we got next? You know, let's keep on this UFC rant we're doing. We got Weidman versus Belfort. How do you feel about that?
Weidman versus Belfort, I mean, well, obviously we know one of the reasons why. Well, this is the thing. Remember in steroids and baseball, and everybody was saying, like, oh, these steroids are making baseball players so much better? Well, I agree, yes, in a certain way, but to me, the performance-enhancing drugs still can't – they can't make you a better
– they can't make you a better fighter.
They can't make you a better fighter. They can't give you more heart. They I don't think, like – you know, to hit a baseball is a special skill. You know, like throwing a punch and being accurate is a special skill. So these performance-enhancing drugs, in my opinion, aren't making these guys better fighters.
Not at all.
So, I mean, do those guys hit like trucks? Yeah, fucking A, they do. But to me is now, are they – going to be the same athlete without the performance-enhancing drugs? Are they going to have the same cardio, the same strength, and all these things? I think Weidman. I like Weidman because he's a little bit more well-rounded. Maybe he doesn't have the jiu-jitsu skills that Vitor Belfort has, but I think in some of these kind of stylistic matchups, I think his wrestling's better. I mean, the guy is premier wrestler. He comes from one of the best wrestling pedigrees. Is he taking Vitor down the whole fight, ground and pounding him?
Here's the thing. I mean, Anderson Silva is supposed to have really good takedown defense. Chris Weidman made him look like a joke. And if you look at everybody that Chris Weidman has gone against, I mean, I haven't seen anybody take Lyoto Machida down like Weidman did.
And, I mean, he did get beat up in that one round a little bit, but he put four rounds of hurt on Machida. Yeah.
I mean, and you know what, at that caliber, all you need to do is kind of be 10% less in one round to get smacked up. But for the most part, Weidman did what he had to do and put on a clinic, a wrestling clinic on Lyoto Machida. And Vitor Belfort's takedown defense, in my opinion, is not better than Lyoto Machida's.
And he's got two new knees.
And he's, yeah, exactly. So, in my opinion, Vitor Belfort, if he catches him early, it's going to be great. If it goes past the second round, it's over.
Well, what do you think about, have you seen those pictures of TRT Vitor on TRT, and now that he's cycling off, have you seen him?
No, I haven't seen him. What's the difference?
Oh, man, he is way more trim, that's for sure. So,
like, not as muscular?
Not as muscular. His neck is smaller. And, I mean, I don't think cutting to 185 is going to be a big deal for him. So, I don't know. I like Weidman. He's a New York dude. We're from New Jersey. I like his attitude. I like his work ethic. He's a damn good wrestler. I mean, he trains with some awesome jiu-jitsu guys, too, so I don't see him getting submitted, and he's after the little bit of a beating that Machida put on him with his hands, I don't see him getting knocked out. It looks like he's fucking got, like, a granite chin.
Yeah, like I said, if Vitor is going to win, it's going to be in the first or second round, but if it goes past the second, it's over. I've got my money on Weidman.
Who do you think's cardio is going to be better?
Oh, Weidman. I mean, Weidman's a wrestler. Those guys, I mean, their cardio is literally just infinite.
And, you know, not to put anything on Vitor, I mean, the guy's a fucking stud. He's been around in the game a long time, and he's got a pretty tough training camp down there at the Black Zillions.
Yeah, I've always been a huge fan of Vitor Belfort. I mean, since the day I saw him beat up Scott Feroza and Tank Abbott, I mean, that guy was like my hero. But there's just something that Weidman has right now, and that's he's the new champion, he's hungry, and you just can't put a price on that when you have that much determination. I mean, he just said his quality of life has changed completely now that he's UFC champ. He's not going to let that go.
Now, do you think since he's got a little bit of swagger now, since he's already defended the belt once against Anderson Silva and then another time against Machida, do you think that becomes a big play as having you being a fighter, having like that experience in like the bigger fights? Now it's, you know, it's not as mind-blowing as it was the first time?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Vitor has fought some of the best, but the difference is Weidman's the guy who dethroned Silva. Nobody's ever done that. So now that he's proven that it's not a fluke and that he beat Silva's number two right-hand man, Lyoto Machida, you know, because they're training partners, they got a lot of love for each other. Right now, he's got to be on cloud nine. His confidence has got to be through the roof, and he's got to know that right now, there's nobody who can touch him.
Yeah, I have Weidman. I don't know how he's going to finish the fight. I don't really see him submitting.
I don't see a knockout, but maybe decision or possibly rear naked choke somehow taking his back.
Yeah, as a wrestler, maybe like a front choke or a guillotine or something like that, but I think it's going to be a five-round grind.
Yeah.
Take him down, grind him, beat the shit out of him, like force Vitor to give up.
I don't think Vitor can last five rounds.
You know, I don't know.
We'll have to
see. Can you last five rounds with another dude?
You know I can't.
All right, last UFC topic. This is kind of special, so I'm kind of pulling this out of the wind here, is one of our really good friends and somebody we've had on the podcast, you might want to download her episode because she's about to be big time, is our friend Angie Overkill Hill. We just talked to her. We can't get her on the podcast yet. She's working some stuff out with the UFC, but she just finished filming Tough, the Ultimate Fighter Season 20. They're going to do strawweight. So what is that? Is that 115?
I think it's 105 or 115. It's some non-existent weight class.
Yeah, we're trying to get her on the podcast, but she's all wrapped up in doing like media promotions and stuff with her. But, you know, we're stoked that one of Joffrey's, you know, friends from the industry is going to be on TV, and we're psyched for her. We think she has a good chance to win it.
Yeah, and, you know, and if she does win it, I probably will never talk to her again.
Oh, she's going to be so big time.
She'll be so big time. I love you, Andy.
But I think that's pretty cool. Somebody that we've had an opportunity to interview. You've known her since she was an amateur fighter. She got her one MMA fight under her belt and then was accepted into the Ultimate Fighter House. So,
you know, I got to say with Angela, I just her ferocity, her just desire to actually hurt somebody, that's what separates her from all other females. I mean, these other chicks are probably jiu-jitsu girls, want to tap people out. I mean, Angie wants to fuck shit up. So I'm really excited to see this season.
Yeah, I'm excited too. And she's like, she's a cool chick. She's super friendly. And, you know, she has definitely like a cool vibe for the TV show. So, you know, I'm hoping they paint her in an awesome light and not edit it or make her look like a fucking dunce. Because they do that with a lot of people.
Yeah, and then we'll have her on the podcast and we'll make fun of her.
Yeah, if she's ever allowed to come on, which I hope she is soon.
Yeah.
But that's all legalities type of stuff.
So let's change direction a little bit, talk a little bit about Glory. Glory's actually doing exactly what we're doing. We took a little hiatus to kind of get ourselves together, make ourselves more positive. They currently hired a new CEO, I believe. CEO, CFO, one of those.
Eric Haycraft?
Yeah, I wish.
Fucking Eddie, too. I'd love to get some tickets. Yeah. Come on, Haycraft.
So they just hired somebody new for the position and...
Missionary,
yeah. Or a three-point position.
You barely know her.
Yeah. So they're trying to rebrand, get everything bigger this year. So I'm really excited about that because their first jump-off year was amazing. The shows were excellent. They had a great product, but I think now...
Some awesome champions and some awesome... they had the multi-man tournaments and stuff.
What I think right now is they have to think, what can we do to make this huge in the U.S.? Because if you want to survive, you have to be huge in the U.S. I mean, that's such a difficult question. What do you do to grow your market in such a MMA-dominant society?
I don't know. I mean, I think there's space for everybody in mixed martial arts. When I say mixed martial arts, I actually mean the sport of mixed martial arts. And then all the other sub-martial arts. So now you're seeing things like Glory, which are, you know, the kickboxing, Dutch-style kickboxing. You're seeing events like Metamoris. There's a huge influx of, like, Naga. You know, I mean, those are amateur competitions, but there is space. I mean, you competed in Knockdown Karate forever. That's still big. Judo is still pretty big. They have international tournaments all the time. So... there is space for the niche market of specific sports. MMA, UFC, Bellator, these things are definitely like the forefront, the biggest thing. But I think the speed of the mixed martial arts industry is allowing for other people to find those other niche martial arts. So because of the UFC, I think Glory can kind of be on the coattails of that. Because maybe you don't come from a traditional, you know, mixed martial arts background, but you love striking. You know, Glory could be for you because maybe you like don't like those dudes rubbing on each other on the ground, or you know, people aren't into clinches. Yeah, so I mean, there's definitely a space for that. They need to figure out how to kind of get it to everybody.
Yeah, I think if you go watch Glory, the most amazing thing is the knockout rate. Almost every fight is ended by a knockout,
especially in the heavier divisions too.
Exactly. The issue that you're getting right now, in my opinion, is that we don't have a reality TV show for it. And I know that sounds ridiculous. The Ultimate Fighter is what saved MMA.
Oh, I agree.
And you need to have those personalities. I know we were at dinner with the Eric and Lindsay Haycraft a few months back, and they don't want that kind of mystique of MMA, that trashy mystique. But for some reason, the American public loves trash.
Oh, and you know, any kind of trash. Go turn on TV right now. You'll see Keeping Up with the Kardashian Sluts, or you know, some other hunting reality show,
or some kind of plastic surgery show where you know somebody wants bigger tits, smaller tits, one tit.
Oh, weird fetish. I eat like scotch tape and like all these weird shows. I mean, reality shows. I don't know the percentage, but I'm sure it's got to be almost every TV show. Survivor, this show, that show. You know, only the real shows that most people like now, you know, that win the awards are like Breaking Bad and things like that. But reality shows are definitely a huge part of people's DVR.
Yeah, I mean, the truth is, too, we have personalities in Glory that would do amazing on a show, a reality show. You got Joe Schilling, who talks a lot of shit. You got Wayne Barrett, who hates him. You
got Bazooka Joe, Valtellini.
Yeah, well, I mean, Valtellini, for me, he's like the most straight-edge guy on that show, if there was to be one.
Yeah, but you need, like, the guy in the middle to kind of, you know, balance offset everybody else. You need the drunk guy. You need the crazy guy. Yeah.
So, in my opinion, for Glory to really take off, it's not just how amazing the show actually is as far as the actual kickboxing show itself. You have to get people into the trash aspect as well. I mean, people...
Shit-talking sells fights.
Yeah, people didn't care about Randy Couture versus Chuck Liddell until they saw them as coaches and, you know, a lot of the backstage stuff happened that the audience was exposed to.
Yeah, like just them competing against each other in non, you know, combative sports, like who can kick this soccer ball through a hoop or who can rope climb or, you know, whatever, that makes it more interesting.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, we know you're going to fight at the end of the season, that's the whole point of the show, but, you know, let's see everything that leads up to it.
Yeah, so, in my opinion, Glory, reality show, and the trashier, the better.
Yeah, and they should do, like, Real World. You know, they should pay your bar tab, and they should keep the fridge stocked with booze.
Yeah, because, you know what? If you want to be the best, you got to live like you're the best.
Yeah, the best drinker.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
So, Job, what have you been up to lately? I know you've had, like, a couple big projects going on.
So, some big projects coming up. Let's see. And I just personal train a lot, working at Apollon Gym and the Underground Gym in Red Bank, as well as trying to get my feet wet and move into the Manhattan area, because that's where you...
that's where you make it rain.
Yeah, that's where you make it rain. You know,
it's trying to get that Wall Street money.
Trying to get all about the Benjamins.
Yo.
All about the Pentiums.
Yo, maybe you can train Diddy.
Yeah, you know, I mean, he's, you know, a rapper, and I like...
rapper.
I like black people, so it should be an amazing trade-off.
That's awesome.
What? Yeah, so I'm just trying to get into Manhattan. I'm training like crazy, you know, going through a midlife crisis at 28, whether I want to fight again or not. We'll see what happens.
What do you think about that? I mean, not that you're going to make any preeminent decisions here.
Nah, you know what? One thing that keeps resonating is do it before you can't do it anymore. I accomplished what I wanted to, but there's still that fire. Once you're a fighter, you can't just turn the off button. It's something it's in you.
What about competing in something else, like maybe judo or jiu-jitsu or karate again, like just to keep a competitive edge?
You know, karate, you can't go back to karate after doing Muay Thai and punch into the face like a step back. And you look at judo, I've never liked really getting slammed on the ground that hard. And you go to jiu-jitsu, I don't want to pay $100 to compete.
That's, true. You know, and get a plastic trophy.
Yeah, exactly.
You can get a samurai sword.
To go from being like a main event status guy in a kickboxing show to paying $100 to win a samurai sword, it just, you know, if it was not so difficult and economically inefficient, I would like to try more jiu-jitsu tournaments, but they just make it so you could have one match and lose, and you're out $100 and the whole day because you were supposed to compete at 10 a.m. in the division and go out until 10 p.m.
Yeah, this is true. I mean, there's a bunch of really good tournaments, but I don't know. Every time I've ever been to any tournament, any martial art, it's always been like, hurry the fuck up and wait, and then sit around and like jerk off for 3 hours, and then they call you, and then you might be like...
You're like eating a sandwich.
Yeah, and they're like, oh, time to go. And you're like, oh, well, that's cool. I just ate a hoagie or a grinder.
And that's the whole thing. It's just like, and there's no real progression. I mean, you win one event, okay, you do another event. It's kind of
people
like,
have made their whole careers off just winning one event too. I mean, there's quite a few guys who won like Pan Ams once or this tournament once, and then now they're like, you know, selling instructionals.
You know what it is? My whole thing is with jiu-jitsu. Modern day jiu-jitsu just fucking can suck me off. I'm sorry. It's so boring. I don't want to take an hour and a half class where for 20 minutes you're going to have me run around the room and do shrimps and this and that. It's like, I do my fitness and conditioning. I mean, I work at the underground gym. You guys see what we do for strength condition. We're really at the forefront of it. I don't need to do 30 minutes of running around for a jiu-jitsu class. Let's do the technique. Teach me what you want to teach me. Make me efficient at it. Let's roll. I just, going from Muay Thai where everything's so high octane to being like, all right, we're going to do a 30-minute warm-up. Dude, I don't want to waste time. That's filler.
Skip around the gym and then do some... I mean, like, I could see some applicable things, like doing some, like, forward rolls and, yeah, and break falls and all that kind of stuff, but...
Can't we condense it to 10 minutes, though?
Yeah, like, I don't need to do 100 break falls.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what's the point of that? Yeah, I already know how to fall. Sorry.
The funny thing is a lot of my friends have gone to Brazil to train, and they say the way classes...
Why, to get hepatitis?
Exactly. Omoplata. They say the way they train in Brazil is actually hilarious. It's a bunch of friends, basically all these other black belts just hanging out in the room with white belts and blue belts, and finally one group will start rolling, and everybody will start rolling, and maybe at the end of it, one dude will say, hey, I just nailed this, let's drill it. And I just find that hilarious that... That's literally what they do. They play the whole time. It's not here where we made it such a structured program where, oh, we're going to do a 30-minute warm-up of you doing 800 break falls, and then we'll show you something. You know, teach me when I'm fresh. Teach me when my brain is at its most optimal.
Yeah, I think like a whole – if you wanted to do like drillers makes killers kind of thing, you can just do a whole class on drilling.
Yes,
like
absolutely.
If you want to drill like arm bars for 10 minutes, this for 10 minutes. And same thing with Muay Thai. Like if you just want to do a pads class and not spar, you can just do an hour of pads if you want to. Just do rounds and rounds of pads. And
absolutely.
Just work on technique and work on, you know, having somebody watch your, you know, your technique and make corrections.
And the issue I have with some jiu-jitsu classes, I mean, I think you can attest to this as well. You don't need to roll for an hour. I mean, you roll for an hour and the next day you're useless, and I don't care what anybody says. Oh, well, you could roll technical. Yeah, why don't you tell that to the freaking 280-pound white belt over there who's on steroids, and you're trying to roll technical, and he's grabbing on to everything for dear life.
Well, now, what do you think about, like, I know Metamorphosis was a big event that just happened, and that was kind of like the epitome of sport jiu-jitsu. I don't know if you had a chance to see all of that, but training for some of those events, like a 20-minute round and submission only, don't you have to get those longer rolls in there?
Absolutely, but you got to realize that's at, like, the highest caliber. And also, beyond that, too, so 20-minute rolling rounds, okay, do you really think they're doing an hour of it, or they're probably doing stuff to make it a little more...
Just keep moving for, you know, a specific amount of time.
Yeah, exactly, because here's the thing. When I've talked to some of the higher-level jiu-jitsu guys out there, and I'm talking about... you talk to Henzo, you talk to Hoyler, you talk to these guys, you talk to that guy. It's fun for them. It's play for them. You even see the videos of them rolling. So when they're doing a bunch of rolling rounds, it's not this kill or be killed rolling. We don't have that luxury. We're not rolling with dudes who are seeing this as play. We're going with the cop who has an ego, who wants to break your neck, and you have to do... one round with him, that's 6 minutes, then a round with his other cop buddy, and then another guy, and another guy, and they're all trying to rip your neck off. And, yeah, an hour like that means your neck's going to be stiff for the rest of the week.
And that's the biggest thing I've been hearing and talking to some other people in jiu-jitsu is neck and shoulder and back problems, and it's just straight from your neck and, you know, your spine being pulled on, your neck being pulled on. Like, it seems like that's one of the most common injuries. When we had Lev on the podcast a few months back, he was talking about from his physical therapy standpoint, neck is like one of the biggest problems in jiu-jitsu. And what's that from? People being fucking animals and pulling on you all day long.
Yeah, and I think that goes with, you know, I don't want to just be trashing on jiu-jitsu players either. This goes with a lot
of it's just part sports. Of the sport, you know. Yeah, it's part of the deal.
Yeah, I mean, even if you go on a Muay Thai and you just want to spar and you got that jerk off who punches you full force in the head, I think...
60%, bro.
Yeah, there's rolling slash sparring, and then there's... fighting slash competition.
100%.
You have to kind of define, okay, there are days where you kind of know, okay, this is going to be a rough one. But to have that every single session, I mean, Maz, me being the smaller dude, everybody looked at me and went like, oh, lunch meat. And then all of a sudden when I was, you know, slapping them around and tapping them out, it was World War III because they didn't like it. Their ego couldn't take it.
Yeah, I mean, you've done that to me a few times when we first started training. Yeah, you pretty much made me cry.
Yeah.
No, not really.
So, yeah, that's my opinion why, you know, I wouldn't really go into a jiu-jitsu competition because I can't find the honestly, I guarantee if I found the right jiu-jitsu instructor, it would be a lot of fun. But
if you could train anywhere in the area right now, where do you think could fulfill your, you know, your jiu-jitsu needs? Not to, like, shamelessly plug anybody, but what do you think would be a right fit for you?
I'm really into Eric Paulson's CSW, and I know that's not jiu-jitsu. It's catch wrestling.
Catch is catch, kind of. It's similar principles.
I think it's really cool because it's such a great integrated style. A lot of jiu-jitsu guys are very anti-CSW, but, I mean, they teach you amazing leg locks. They teach you some dirty jiu-jitsu as well. They teach you... I mean, realistically...
It's all the same grappling. It's all the same different name, right?
What I like is, in CSW, they show you things that really are self-defense oriented. Like, there's a move I learned years ago called the Lemon Crusher, which is basically you put your fist into the guy's throat and you drop... When you mount him, you put your fist into their throat and you drop your weight on top of that fist and you keep your other hand sprawled out. You keep your other hand sprawled out to prevent them from bumping. And... applying the right pressure in the certain area, you could really F them up.
Yeah, it's like the shoulder of righteousness, too. I mean, people don't use their shoulder as much, and they can get you just by applying pressure with your shoulder to the neck. It's just dirty wrestling.
I would be more interested in that just because, for me, learning jiu-jitsu and all that stuff was more for self-defense or, you know, self-defense reasons. That's what kind of what got me into jiu-jitsu. I never wanted to be... For me, stand-up, I was like, I'm going to be a fighter. But jiu-jitsu was more like, hey, what do I do if this, you know, jerk-off tries to take me off?
What?
What?
what if a guy jumped out of a van with his pants down?
Yeah. What do I do before he tries to, you know, stroke himself?
I think that's a problem, too, is... there's a difference between, like, we've talked about combatives, sport, you know, in self-defense. So, you know, there's, like, a big argument in the industry now. It's like, well, you know, no, somebody said this isn't combatives and this wouldn't work in real life. And, you know, all this bullshit, like, between saying, like, oh, you put a jiu-jitsu guy against a regular guy that only knows sport jiu-jitsu and he could defeat the other guy. Yeah, no shit. Of course he can. The guy, obviously, that doesn't know anything is, you know, at a huge disadvantage.
You know, my issue with modern-day jiu-jitsu is we're teaching people to jump guard, and in my opinion, that's the dumbest shit ever. You're teaching somebody to jump guard in a real fight now. There's a jiu-jitsu instructor I know. He actually owns his own school, and he told me he wanted me to teach him stand-up. He goes, because I would like to know what to do on the street, because all I think I would do currently would be jump guard. And I went, are you kidding me? You would jump guard in cement. You jump guard, hit your back to the asphalt, and what, scrape up your whole back? And then what, you're going to choke the guy out, he's going to be separated, and you're probably going to need stitches in your back. So who really won the fight?
I think guard has an applicable place in self-defense, in jiu-jitsu for sure. Yes. You know, like, you get taken down or something happens, yeah. You can hold the person, you know, you could get away, make space, whatever it is. But as a defensive strategy, straight off the bat, I really... I don't know. I've seen too many crazy things in my life to think that would be appropriate.
Yeah, and I mean, to hear that from a brown belt in jiu-jitsu, in my opinion, that was nuts. I heard that from a high-level brown belt, high-level competitor, and I just looked at him like, are you serious? I kind of thought it was a joke.
To me, that's almost like a disservice to the community if that, like, that's what you're preaching. Like, whether it's karate or jiu-jitsu or Muay Thai or judo, if you're creating a false sense of security for somebody, saying, like, oh, this technique, this is what I would do in a self-defense situation. Who's to say what the best technique is? But I think that's a huge disadvantage.
Yeah, I really think the ability to apply jiu-jitsu in a self-defense aspect is also really important. That's why it's a martial art. Like, Muay Thai, I don't care what anybody says, predominantly it's a sport. That's the difference between Muay Thai and Brazilian jiu-jitsu. The Graces will tell you, jiu-jitsu's number one title is a martial art. It's not... Yeah, is it an amazing...
No, I mean, Gracie Jiu-Jitsu was based on a self-defense system, for
exactly.
Sure.
Exactly.
But is that still incorporated in today? And most of the schools, I don't think so. I've trained quite a few schools, and, you know, hardly ever was there a segment where it was like, okay, you know, if you were being attacked or if you were, you know, encountered or, you know, 3-on-1, 2-on-1, something like that, you don't learn... Like a bear hug defense or weapon defense. I mean, weapon defenses are all, you know, kind of up in the air.
It's almost like to the point now that they need to separate it. Like, they should have jiu-jitsu for sport and jiu-jitsu, you know what I mean?
Well, they have, like, those rape prevention classes for women and stuff. And to me, that's, like, a more strategic class than...
There's got to be something you're teaching to these dudes nowadays, too. Because they really think that, oh, if they got in a bar fight, they're going to jump guard and go for an arm bar... And neglect the 6 other dudes that are going to try to punt their head off.
Yeah, I don't think fighting's a good idea in general, so... Yeah, I mean, who wants to fight anyway? Fighting's bad.
Like I say, sometimes you got to fight them off before they bite you off.
Or other off things.
So, guys, we're going to wrap up. This is kind of our first one back, in a way, just talking shit, getting everything going. I'm sure we jumped all over the place, but we missed you, and we had a lot to talk about, but not really.
So we got a couple big things coming up. We got a couple guests that we're going to get off the bat. make sure you check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/bagguymuaythai. We have some really awesome videos on YouTube, part of our blog series.
RedTube.
Yeah, RedTube. YouTube.com/officialBGMT, bagguymuaythai. And then from there, you get our links to our Instagram and our Twitter, and we're always kind of posting cool and interesting stuff. We got a lot of big things kind of in the pipeline. We got some big moves that we're making. Hopefully, we're going to be a little bi-coastal and not bi-curious here soon. I might be making the move out west. So we have a lot of cool things happening. We're going to get our video blogs get going. Joff's going to shape his chest every now and again.
Yeah, I don't want to keep this taco meat growing forever.
All right, and then you know how we always finish every segment. I got the first random question today.
All right, you go first.
Let me see here. How often do you manscape?
Manscape. I trim my pubes and my armpits every 2 to 3 weeks.
How How long does that get? Because you're a hairy person. I don't mean that in a bad way.
It doesn't get really bad. It doesn't get too awful because when I trim it down, like it's almost like shaving down. It's all natural, and then I shave it down, and it looks like.
Now, when you fight, did you do it for aesthetics or did you do it for performance enhancing?
Oh, when I shaved my chest only once, and
did you lose your power?
No, I only shaved my chest because I had to make weight, and I always heard of MMA guys doing it, and I didn't lose shit from that. So that
like
was
swimmers
stupid.
And stuff.
Yeah, so I was just like, "What is this about?" And then I realized it was gay.
Fucking bullshit.
Yeah. Maybe every 2 weeks. All right, my question for you.
Go. I hope it's awesome.
Have you received a BJ in the last 2 weeks? And if so, from who?
Oh, man. I can't answer on that because that would make me putting the fifth. What do they call that? Like, due to incriminating circumstances.
Dearly beloved.
Nah, man. I don't get down with promiscuity.
Yes, John Maz is a choir boy.
Yeah, you know, I'm a one type of person for one person. Is that what they say? A one person?
A one man army?
Band? One man band? I don't know what that means.
The stranger.
But I think about it all the time.
You know what they say, sometimes thinking's better than doing.
I mean, in those cases, yeah. But I'm not opposed to anybody out there that's good looking, you know. You can give me a shout out on the Facebook page.
And don't worry, you won't have to do the walk of shame because you're already being full of shame. Peace out.
Thank you.